podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
This is Late Tea Time, the golf betting podcast that finds the best betting value closer to the first shot being struck than anyone else.
And a bleary-eyed good morning to all of you out there. How are you, everybody? Hopefully some of your bets are landing. Hopefully you're enjoying the Masters. It's James and it is Dave T with you as well, ahead of Saturday's action in the Masters. But before we get any further into today, DT, Hideki's failed us, but we do have something to shout about.
But yeah, Hideki did us a favour in that he helped move the cut line to plus six. The cut fell at tied 50th and ties, and he double bogeyed the last hole. He'd actually played really well on most of Friday.
Yeah, because it was so. As you know, I had him to be the second round leader or the second round best score. And even at the turn, when he was still level par, I was thinking, well, I just kind of blaze through a few of the par fives. You might be able to get to 300 and win me a bet. But yeah, well.
Yeah, on the Masters app, you can see every shot, can't you? The player hits. So I was watching him and he was doing really well. He missed a few putts here and there, but his long game was good. And then he just double bogeyed the last. But as it happened, that double bogey sent him to plus six. Justin Thomas played the last, was it five or six holes in plus seven? So he collapsed from making the cut easily to even being on the edge of contention to missing the cut. And a couple of others who messed up, and suddenly this bet, our 9-1 Akka for six players to make the cut, I thought it was dead in the water because Siwoo Kim had already shot six over, but then the cut line moved to six over, so we scraped in. So that landed a nice 9-1 Akka. And then also do you remember we put up a 72-hole treble?
Yes.
At the start as well. So one of those has landed. Justin Thomas, despite his collapse, did beat Victor Hovland. Did you see the clip of Hovland whiffing his putt?
Yeah, Victor fell apart yesterday, didn't he?
Yeah, he missed a putt, then sort of backhanded it and missed that one. So, but Thomas just got over the line, so we beat him. So that's one in the bag. The other two that are still going is Russell Henley to beat Tyrrell Hatton. A bit of work to do for Henley. He's plus six, just got in, actually with a birdie on 18. Hatton's plus two, but Hatton was going quite nicely at one stage, but he fell away a bit. I saw him making a few sort of sarky sort of gestures that I've holed a putt at last and stuff like that. And he's 64th in putting, so I think the greens are driving him a bit mad. So I could see over the course of 2 days, maybe Henley picking him off. He's got four shots to make up on him. And then the other one is Zalatoris to beat Cantlay. Zalatoris plus three, Cantlay plus two. So that one's in the balance as well. So yeah, that 6.33 still has a chance.
Did you just talking about people reacting badly? Did you see Zach Johnson on the 12th green?
A man of God, dear me, that was a bit rude.
He took a six, and the crowd were giving him some grief, and he just turned around and went, "F off." It was like you can understand it, can't you? You can understand it, kind of the pressure of the Masters and the disappointment. Well,
It's still a little bit too much.
But so, Zach, wash your mouth out with soap and water and it'll be better. Do you reckon that some of that giving in the bird was because he was the US captain and they messed up, or do you reckon it was just something else?
He has had to sort of carry that around a bit, hasn't he? That fact that he got hammered. And people said he's the worst US captain we've ever had. You know, he's been heckled on other courses. didn't expect that.
Yeah. Ahead of Saturday then, honestly, I'm not with it at all today. I woke up this morning thinking it was Sunday, thinking, where's yesterday? No, but it's not. It's Saturday. I'm going to show you the top end of the markets there. We've got three leaders, basically. Scotty Scheffler, 11-8. Bryson DeChambeau. He's not 9-26, he's 9-1. And 9-2, in fact, and Max Homer is 11-2. Right. Colin Morikawa, 16s. Ludvig Goberg, who played really nicely yesterday, 20-1. Nikolaj Højgaard is 28s, and the rest are probably out of contention and bigger. Is it really down to the top three, six under par, sharing the lead, Bryson, Scotty, And Max Homer, who I meant to mention yesterday, because I've been really impressed with Max Homer.
It probably is, isn't it? DeChambeau, because he had that good score, really good score in the bank already, then he didn't have to do much yesterday to hold his position. Played plenty of good shots in the tough weather. I mean, the average score yesterday was 75. That's very, very high for the Masters. It was so windy. Bryson did pretty well. Scheffler, I think there was a feeling that Scheffler could kick clear to maybe 8 or 9, 10 under, but the weather just sort of kept him in check. He put one in the water at 13.
It's nothing against Scotty Scheffler. I really like Scotty Scheffler, and he's a tremendous golfer. But I actually inwardly cheered when that ball went in the water because it keeps the Masters alive. The worst thing for the tournament would have been if he'd romped away to a 7-shot lead at halfway, and it would have just been inevitable over the weekend. Him not pulling away has kept the tournament very much in the balance, hasn't it?
Yeah, I agree, because I think if he'd got, say, 4 clear, I think he would have just played really conservative golf, and he can do that, and it would have just been a bit, so he's going to just steer this thing home. But yeah, with Homer there as well, it's like the Premier League and the Championship, a three-horse title race again, it seems to be. Things come in threes at the minute.
Well played, Plymouth Argyle last night, keeping my team, Leeds United, very much in the hunt. Leeds United play at 12:30. Anyway, this is a golf podcast. Do you see Rory's reaction? He said that he was getting really annoyed with the slow play yesterday.
Six hours it took them to get around. Six hours.
I think some of that, though, is, you know, we talked about it yesterday. He said it was an advantage to be in the same pack as Scotty going around yesterday. I think Rory missed a real trick yesterday. He started off obviously in contention-ish, and he fell away. And I think there's the frustration of that, because with the leaders not going further ahead, a nice little kind of 100 or 200, he'd been very much in the mix today, but he's not, is he now?
Yeah, but you say that, a nice little 100 or 200. There were so few of them yesterday. There's only one player who broke 70. That was Oberg.
Yeah.
Yeah, Rory just, he didn't have a birdie all day, did he? He just looked, I don't know, it's like, oh, here we go again, not going to win this week. It's like a slow death, wasn't it?
You can probably guarantee he'll probably shoot a 73 today, something unextraordinary. And on Sunday, it'll be 6 under, and it'll be, well, what might have been again, won't it?
He's not winning, I'm afraid.
But one person who you mentioned in terms of the miscut, Acker, Tiger. A lot of talk yesterday about, is he going to be able to play the 23 holes required today? He's not exactly rolling back the years to his very, very best, but he knows that course. He knows his own game. He's kind of modified his game to kind of match his back and everything else that's going on. And he played really well. It's lovely, isn't it? Lovely to see him walking around and strutting around and doing his stuff.
It's great, isn't it? I mean, you almost forget, you just presume, say you're a very casual golfer, and you probably presume he's still playing other events. He's hardly played any competitive golf in years.
He's played two since his accident. He's played two full tournaments, missed the cut twice, and he's had to pull out of two others that he was supposed to enter. And you just wonder, if you're a normal golfer out there and you're thinking, I've been battling every single week, I'm trying my hardest, and yet this bloke rocks up, he hasn't played for months, and he's better than I am. How does that work?
Yeah, it's just incredible. Well, he's Tiger Woods, isn't he? That's how it works. Yeah. But yeah, it's he just knows how to get it round, doesn't he? He just knows where to hit it, knows where the bad miss is, and he absolutely cruises through the cut. Some of them you can see they're kind of going through all sorts of agony to just sort of stay in there, and Tiger just sort of cruised round and you know, it's probably too far back, but
he doesn't think so. When he was interviewed last night, they said they were concentrating on the fact that he has now made the most consecutive cuts ever in the Masters.
24, I think that was now.
And he kind of like sidestepped that kind of chat and said, oh, I'm just kind of 8 back or whatever it is, and I'm still thinking about the weekend and all that. And that's generally what is inside his head, isn't it? That's what made him a winner. You know, it's not all this kind of stuff about hunting for stats and stuff. It's all about winning trophies for him. Yeah. How realistic that is probably a totally different question, but he thinks he does.
Yeah, he said that one of the first questions he was asked, one of his first answers was, I'm tired. not surprised. But because he's quite high up the leaderboard, he gets a bit of a lie-in, doesn't he, today? So he doesn't have to be out up too early. So he gets a later tee time than he might have done. You know, it's not like he's just made the cut and he's off straight away. He's got quite a bit of a morning lie-in for Tiger. So yeah, who knows? I mean,
him stay in contention, if not to win it, but to be kind of like top six or something like that, still be on the 18th and Sunday with a kind of like real feeling of goodness about him. It'd be great.
I mean, it's kind of all the bits are there. His short game looks really good. Say he just has a magical day with the putter. Who knows? He could be three or four back if it went really well.
He knows that course better than anybody that's out there. So good luck, Tiger, over the weekend. Great to see you playing good golf. Some people that are playing very good stuff. Before we get into your tips, DT, we'll come back with that in a second. But a big thank you to SwitchWaterSupplier.com for their continued support of the Late Tea Time podcast. Here's a little bit about them. After this, we'll come back, get DT's best bets ahead of Saturday's action.
All golfers want to stay away from the water. That splash as your round sinks beneath the surface is never a good sound. But golf courses rely on water to keep those fairways and greens lush for that post-round shower or the clean glass at the 19th hole. Golf courses, indeed most businesses, spend way too much money on their water bills. Switch Water Supplier can cut your water costs and help your business save money. Register now at switchwatersupplier.com. They will do all the hard work and get your business the very best price for your water supply and claim money back if you've been overcharged. Switchwatersupplier.com. Switching made simple.
This is Late Tea Time, the Golf Betting Podcast.
Indeed, switching made simple. Thank you, SwitchWaterSupplier.com, for their support of the Late Tea Time podcast. But back into looking ahead to Saturday. And so the price is scrolling there across the bottom of the screen. Scheffler, DeChambeau, Homer, all six under par heading into the weekend. DT, where are you going to look for the value in the betting ahead of the weekend?
I've just seen you've done a live edit and got rid of that six off DeChambeau.
I didn't like it. It was annoying me.
Well done.
You know, I'm a perfectionist, DT.
Oh, yeah. Good. Good trait to be. yeah, I don't know. I'm not going on the outrights now. I'm going to do some hackers, but just to talk about them a bit. Scheffler, well, I'll ask you, he's been in the halfway lead or had a tie or had a piece of the halfway lead 12 times on the PGA Tour. How many do you reckon he's gone on to win?
I would imagine a very high percentage of that. 10?
Three.
Really?
Three.
Oh, well.
So he's no kind of absolute shoo-in for me. I know maybe some of those...
They keep putting his stats on the screen, on the coverage. He's first in X, Y, Z, A, B, C, D, E, F. He's won a million tournaments in the last 2 years, blah, 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 blah. I expected that stat to be a lot higher.
Hmm. I know some of it can be early in his career, maybe, but most of it's quite modern halfway leads. And yeah, I was surprised by that.
People keep talking about the fact that golf is secondary to him these days. It's all about everything else. So therefore, it's taking the pressure off him. But they when they were discussing that yesterday on the coverage, they did say when he steps up onto the first tee on the Sunday, if he has got a one-shot lead or something like that, he's only human still. You know, you can say all the stuff about families are more important, religion, whatever, new baby, but he's still human. There will be nerves inside that body.
Of course, though, I mean, he's a massively, massively competitive golfer. Just because he's a pretty cool dude doesn't mean to say, sorry, he's not completely feeling it. You know, I know he's won the Masters, but players like that, one's not enough, is it? They want to win two, three, four, and go on.
I fancy Max Homer. I just think he's a cool dude. I like him. Yeah. He's got a lovely swing. He just strolls around. He kind of enjoys life as well. 11-2 on him, I think, is if you were to ask me who I'd back now, Scotty Scheffler, all the sensible people will go for Scotty Scheffler, and it's probably the right play. But I'd love to see Max Homer win it, to be honest.
Yeah, it used to be that Max Homer had this terrible record in the majors. He kept winning these prestigious PGA Tour events, the Riviera, on the West Coast. You know, and you think, well, now surely you've got to do something in the majors, and he was doing nothing. Then he had a 10th in last summer's Open at Hoylake. It doesn't sound amazing, but I think for him, it was a real like, wow, at last I've kind of done something. I've got a top 10 in a major. So it's interesting that the very first time he plays after that, he suddenly seems to have, I know he's a relaxed guy, but he seems to have just kind of, you know, bounced off that 10th and suddenly here he is leading the Masters. So, yeah, I mean, if you look at the three prices, all three of those guys know how to win. So I know Homer hasn't done it in a major, but it's a price. It's not the worst price, is it?
Everybody's got to win their first at some stage. Mm. It's funny because Scottie Scheffler, we talk about him being quite laid back. Max Homer, quite laid back. Whereas Bryson DeChambeau's got this image of being quite intense, but he seems to be a little bit more chilled than he used to be. So maybe that's the reason they're playing slightly less intense golf. But anyway, you're going away from the outrights, you say. Your picks for Saturday.
Yeah, so I'm going to start off with a... it's just a double, actually. Two players that I watched quite a bit of yesterday in the coverage and also on the app, who I think are going to kick on from here. So this is a double.
Just before you say that whoever's invented that app, it's brilliant, isn't it? Yeah, to be able to just track everybody around, see their shots, it's absolutely magnificent.
Yeah, it shows the way, doesn't it? It shows what's possible. Yeah. If you get the best people to do that.
I mean, I don't know how much you know about it, but I was thinking about it yesterday because I was watching Hideki, and they don't have the ball tracker, but they show where his ball's gone to, and there's all the zigzags as the ball goes down the air. Do they have something inside the balls, or how do they do this? How do they work out where the ball is?
It's kind of like a sort of laser thing, isn't it? They can sort of... I don't know how to say it more than that. It's kind of done by a laser where you have someone walking the fairways and then he can sort of fire his laser to measure how far.
Right, okay. So somebody sees his ball land and
tracks it. That's how they do shot tracker.
I was thinking if something's inside the ball, it'd be brilliant for normal golfers. When you hack it into the woods and you can't find it, you'd be able to get your course tracker out and find it. But it's not that simple.
So. No, they haven't invented that. But I mean, it's the fact that you can see every shot on video that's the best thing, isn't it? You know, you get a lot of complaints on X from week to week, day to day, that I've hardly seen any of my player that I bet on in the coverage. And yet on the app, you can just...
Well, that's why I was following Hideki on the app, because they didn't pick him up at all on the telly.
Yeah. They showed a couple late on. I think they showed a missed putt on 17. But it's brilliant, isn't it? It puts other... It shows what you can do if you want to do it. Yeah, if you've got a great idea and you think, right, I'm going to get the best people and we're going to do that, it shows what you can do. And it seems to be flawless. There's no, it's not working today. It just is brilliant, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, the pictures come through a little bit late because they have to obviously record them and then put them onto the app. But it's about as live as you can get, I think. It's excellent.
Fantastic, so these bets then. So you want to be heading over to Bet365, who do kind of, I think other bookies do it as well, but they offer you a range of finishes so you can have a bet on someone to finish in the top three from here, four, five, six. So I've gone to the very end of what they've got on their top finishes market and to finish in the top nine. And the two players I've gone for are Xander Schauffele and Cam Smith. Mm. So Schauffele, he was in the coverage a lot yesterday. He played a couple of bunker shots that were just phenomenal, where he short-sided himself and has to get it absolutely perfect. He started the tournament slowly, played his way back into it quite well yesterday, and was really solid for the whole day, really. Shot a even par, which was five shots, which is way, I don't know if it's five, but it was way above the field average. He's currently tied 15th. So all I'm asking is that he finishes in the top nine from here. So he's had eight top nines in the majors before, so he's done that very well. He's ninth in approach play. I just thought he's one I can see making a weekend move. Doesn't have to do anything incredible, but I think he can get into the top nine. It was similar. Cam Smith, again, he played really well yesterday, shot even par. He's currently tied eighth, so he's already in the top nine, so he's just got to stay there, really. He's got four top nines in his last eight majors. He's 12th in strokes gained putting so far. So that double at Bet365 on Schauffele and Cam Smith both to finish in the top nine is 5-1.
That's good, isn't it? For two, it is, two, yeah. pretty much proven major competitors, yeah. And one of them already being in the zone that you require him to be in. I think that's an excellent bet. So Cam Smith and Xander Schauffele. Yeah.
There's the few on the leaderboard that I've kind of filed away. Maybe could be a bit premature, but some look like you've had a great 36 holes, but I can't really see you keeping this going for another 36 at that level.
Yeah.
And I think this is when the likes of Schauffele and Cam Smith show their experience and come through. So, yeah, I thought I was quite pleased with that 5-1.
This is Late Tea Time, the last word in golf betting with James Butler and Dave Tindall.
What did Danny Willett finish with yesterday?
Yeah, he did quite well, didn't he? He
held his second shot on one, which kind of stopped the bleeding at one stage.
But. Yeah. So he's sort of one I'm thinking of. He's done brilliant so far, but you would expect him to sort of regress a little bit over the weekend. So that's that doubled. And the other one, I'm playing a two-ball Acker.
Okay.
So if you want to get your pen ready.
Oh, I need to find one. You carry on. I'll put you on screen on your own. I'm going to scrabble around a bit.
Okay. So this two-ball Acker for round three, starting off at 2:35 p.m. UK time. So the first was that's morning in Augusta. So the first one is our friend Hideki to beat Ricky Fowler. Hideki's 7-10 to win that one. As I said, and James as well, we watched quite a lot of him on the app last night, and he was doing a lot of good things. He blew up at the last with a double bogey, but generally I think he's going to just move his way through the field as this tournament continues. He's not going to win or anything. I don't know how far he can climb, but he will keep going. Whereas Fowler, you know, they both made the cut on the line, Fowler in at +6, but Fowler's been playing poorly, really, and he's sort of just about muddled his way to the finish. But I think Hideki will beat him today.
On Hideki, his driving was good yesterday. His approach play was okay. He got on the greens, but he always was leaving himself quite long putts. Mm. If he could just get a little bit more accurate with his shots into the green and give himself a few more chances, then he was striking the ball nicely.
It wasn't, and it was very, very windy. He had kind of the brutal weather, really, had the worst of it. So I think with calmer conditions today, his far better play of recent times than Fowler's will come to the fore. So that's Hideki to beat Fowler. The second one is 4:35 p.m. UK time. It's Adam Hadwin to beat Jason Day. This is the one that's quite a big price that bumps this two-ball Acker up to 10.5, 4-1. So Hadwin, both of them finished at +4. Both of them shot +1 yesterday. It's based on the fact that Jason Day is wearing terrible clothes. Have you seen what he's been wearing?
Yeah.
It's like, why would you do that?
Just on that, on the TV coverage, I've heard people, you get buzz phrases, don't you? Double crossing a shot seems to be what they say about everybody that just goes offline at the moment. But with Jason Day, I've kind of watched quite a lot of the USPGA coverage, and he does his like shutting of the eyes to try and steady himself because he's got vertigo, hasn't he? And yet he was in the bunker yesterday, and the guy on the commentary said, and he's shutting his eyes there, that helps with visualization. And basically just went down, no, it doesn't. He's steadying himself because he's got vertigo. I know more than you do, and I'm only kind of like a dipper, my toe into golf now and again.
Well, he must have had his eyes closed when he got dressed on the first 2 days. I mean,
he was like wearing sails on day one on his legs. It was crazy.
Yeah. And because the wind was flapping, he looked like a sort of like one of those things outside a garage that are flapping away in the wind. And yesterday he wore some ridiculous top that he looked like he bought from, Walmart in America. Yeah. It was just like, what's that?
If you're watching Walmart, have a nice day.
Yeah, send us some free stuff. I don't know. Why would you dress like a clown if you're on the show in the Masters? His people will say, we've nailed this. We've got people talking about Jason. Yeah, but not in a good way. We're saying, what are you wearing, mate?
He's probably got his own brand these days. He's probably showcasing his brand. Tiger's wearing his, the Sunday Red stuff.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Why would you have a brand where everyone's saying that looks ridiculous? Anyway.
You got your brand of nice little stripy tops. Look.
Yeah, I'm proud of my brand. I like a stripy top.
The Tindall brand, if you want it. Available on the Late Tea Time podcast website. It's not really.
Okay. So Had win to beat Day at 7-5. I don't particularly think there's anything much between them. Day did all right yesterday, but Hadwin did fine enough. He likes this course. He said before he finished fifth at the Valspar last time. So it's the price one. I was looking for something just to boost it, and I thought Day's not pulling up any trees, so Hadwin at 7-5 is quite a big bet. Okay. And then I'm back to the kind of the two guys who I think are going to play really well at the weekend. So 5:35 p.m. UK, Xander Schauffele to beat Eric Cole at 4-7. I mean, this is basically a pro Xander Schauffele bet. It's nothing against Eric Cole, who's plodded away pretty well so far. But I do expect Xander to kick on from here. And then the final one is Cam Smith to beat Byung-Hun Ahn at 4-5. I thought the betting might be a bit more pro Smith there, but it's quite tight. Arn's done well, but he kind of got away with some stuff yesterday. Did you see his chip in on 16?
No, I didn't see that one.
He's kind of up on a high bank, and you've no chance of stopping the ball. And you know, it would roll away to the bottom because that green tilts from top to bottom. So he's chipping it down. It's going to go right to the bottom. He's probably looking at bogey at absolute best. He chips it in for birdie. Yeah, well done on that. But that's a one in God knows how many shot. So yeah. He was kind of, I think he got away with it a bit yesterday. I saw him interviewed, actually. He said a couple of shots, yeah, he did kind of, was a bit cheeky to get away with. So I think Cam Smith's record in majors and at this course, he's finished runner-up here before, will show. So Smith to beat Ahn 4-5. Just back to Jason Day, as well as not liking his trousers and his, whatever it was, his jumper. He's only 72nd in approach, Jason Day, so his irons aren't very good, really. So that's another reason why Hadwin can beat him. But if you put that two-ball acca together, Matsuyama to beat Fowler, Hadwin to beat Day, Schauffele to beat Cole, and Smith to beat Ahn, you get 10.54-1.
Nice. So we're very much involved, Ben, with Xander Schauffele and Cam Smith. As yes. They start round three, and we're adding Hideki and Adam Hadwin onto them. So hopefully all four of those golfers can add to our success this week, because you kind of think, well, we heavily backed Hideki this week. Both me and you came to the same conclusion independently. And Hideki, despite his trying, he's not going to win the Masters. Mm-hmm. He was the last of the qualifiers, basically, to get into the weekend. But we're doing all right with your little 72-hole accas. You meet the weekend accas. And then hopefully Hideki, Adam Hadwin, Xander Schauffele, Cam Smith can add to that as we go through Saturday. So well played so far, DT. Well, very well done.
Well, nice to get a 9-1, wasn't it? That kind of sort of pace for the week already, doesn't it, really, for this podcast, to be honest.
Indeed. So anyway, that's us done for Saturday. Are you back with me tomorrow?
Yes. Oh, one more thing. Do you want my Grand National tips?
Go on then.
So everyone must know the Grand National today. Maybe overseas, the biggest horse race in the world, would you say? I don't know. The Americans and the Aussies might contest that, but
and the UAE have a massive thing there, don't they?
Yeah, but the Grand National,
anyway, that part.
Yeah, Gallia des Lito. Don't know if I've said that right. Gallia des Lito.
Yeah,
it's about 25-1. So I fancy that. Likes the ground's going to be quite soft and heavy testing, so I think he likes the ground. And Mr. Incredible is my other one. He's about 12-1.
You thought of me when you put that on, didn't you?
I've made that joke about me to someone else, actually. So it asks for it, doesn't it? So well done for doing that as well.
I'm on, is it Coke Beach? It's Cocoa Beach or Coke Beach?
All right.
I've got a free bet somewhere. I've just put my money on that horse. So good luck anyway to our horses in the Grand National. Good luck to you out there, everybody, as we head into the weekend in Augusta. Thank you, as always, Dave Tindall. Thank you for your tips and your expertise. And we will see you again tomorrow, everybody. This has been a Sports Broadcast Media production. And good luck. Gamble responsibly. And we'll see you all tomorrow. Cheers all.
Always gamble responsibly. Visit begambleaware.org for more information.
Social Podcast Network.